Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications. I was going to say Alan Greenfingers then, don't know why. But
Alan Greenfingers?
Yeah, are you a gardener, Al?
Well, we do have a very nice garden, but I will mow the lawn and I'll do stuff if pushed, but gardening is not really my thing. But I do like enjoying the garden. It is nice, and we've got.
You say enjoying it? You're just sitting out there and doing nothing. You mean, yeah?
That's right. Sunbathing naked and just really upsetting the neighbours. Really, but
Well, they were pleased when you move in until you reveal you're a naturist, and then they said, "Oh my word!"
That's right.
But my wife she loves the garden. She's obsessed with it. Mm. Loves planting trees. It looks nice though. But I'm not. It's almost like people of a certain age get into that, and it hasn't struck me yet. I'm not into it. But again, if I'm pushed like you, but I'm not obsessed with planting stuff and all that. I do like the idea of growing stuff, food. I like the idea of that. But I've never written about it. We bought a sort of temporary greenhouse. Literally, we planted stuff the wrong time. We planted stuff for the wrong season. And then our neighbour just looked at his head over the fence and, it's the wrong time of season for that. I thought, what did he know about it? He was right, though. And literally, the wind blew it away next winter, and it's gone. And then we had to get it from next neighbour's garden. Get it from next neighbour's garden and throw it in the bin. So, so I'll have to restart that some other time. Anyway, let's talk about green shoots. I think I'm sensing a liquidity change in the market to the positive side since the inflation figures came out. We had CPI from America, quite good, and then we had inflation figures over here, quite good. Now they're saying that the Bank of England may not raise rates. We had bad PMI figures yesterday from the UK, and I think that is a case of bad news being good news for the markets, because if you got bad PMI figures and the contraction slowing down the economy, that means inflation will not be going up. That's what the Bank of England looks at, and that's why they raise rates. So I think bad news on that front and the slowing down the economy is exactly what they want, isn't it?
Well, it is, absolutely. I mean, that fall in inflation was welcome news to the markets, and I think I think green shoots is a very good analogy. I think we are starting to see interest in stocks that have been really dormant. Dormant is probably not the right word. I mean, they've just gradually drifted down, and there's been little interest in them. But classic case in point, stock we talked about the other week, ECR Minerals. There is stuff happening there. There's an awful lot of news flow upcoming from their projects in Australia. But the share price jumped up from 0.29p. brush with 0.6p briefly. It's currently at 0.42p. So, there's interest. We're seeing more volume. People are coming back in to these smaller stocks, and I think it could well signal a return to the markets, perhaps earlier than normal, because of course normally during July and August it's pretty quiet, and people come back to the markets in September. But that may well change. Given this inflation data, that could mark a sea change. As you say, spending, PMI numbers are down, could be good news for the markets. Spending is down, so the strategy of the Bank of England to raise interest rates is a pretty blunt tool. It is having some effect. So, of course, the prospect, certainly of no more interest rate rises, and perhaps even by the end of this year, early next year, some reduction in interest rates, that would be very welcome indeed for the markets. And the Bank of England governor did say that he expected interest rate rises to top out this summer, and maybe he could be right. So, a feather in his cap if he's proved correct in this regard.
Yeah, well... headline here in the City AM today, UK recession risk just got a whole lot lower after inflation undershoot. And in fact, a lot of Europe now are doing worse than the UK. So yes. Normally going to Germany, dreadful. The PMI is 38. And obviously below 50, it's contraction. And ours is, I think manufacturing was 45. This was 38. But no, but that is what central banks want. I mean, and you know, people say, oh, you have a recession, coming. No, what do you think the markets are pricing in? What's it been pricing in for the last 2 years, pretty much, is this recession. And now it's a case of, if the inflation figures don't get worse, which I don't think they will, then the markets will see the bottom, because there's no more massive hikes. And in fact, all the market needs to see is that figures on inflation aren't getting worse. If they aren't getting worse, then there's a route out of this. And I think if you look at the AIM all share, for example, it went down to the low it got to was recently was 738. Now it was below the 750 in October lows, but it's rallied to 764 now. And I think that was, what is it, 7th or the 11th? 11th or 7th. So 11th of July, I think that was the low. I'm calling it, Al. I'm calling it. It's not official.
You're calling it.
Okay, nowhere near a bull market yet, but I think that's the bottom. I think that was the bottom.
Yep, and I think all those that have stuck it out and stuck with their investments, these recoveries can take place very quickly. You know, we can see a rapid recovery, and often when you're waiting for stuff to happen, it happens within, say, 6-8 weeks, 2 months, 3 months. Mm. So all that time you've been waiting, all of a sudden there's a turnaround, and you're back to where you were, say, you know, perhaps 2 years previously. So yeah, it's a very exciting time, and I think the signs are there. But you know, it's still early days, so you know,
early days. Still
caveat them to all that. But
I don't think it'll be like a swift recovery, like this is in the Great Financial Crash, because the central banks could step in and then cure the, to a certain extent, bail out the banks and cure the problem, the big worry within. Inflation is a lot stickier, it's a lot more time, so you may have some false readings that are, you know, don't go as expected, and we may see a market wobble. But I think maybe the low is in them, you know, I'm scared to say it, but I mean, I think it's there. I think we're there. But by the way, I've got to mention this, my stock, I've covered it for a few times. You used to mention Destiny Farm a while back. Now it's a completely new setup there now. We just announced a new chairman, Sir Nigel Rudd. And he's a formidable character, ex-deputy chairman of Barclays. He's in charge of Heathrow. He's a turnaround for King. He goes in there, buys shares, and he's never, ever been a chairman of a company where the share price has been lower after he's left it. He says it's always been higher when he's left. And he already owns about 2.4% of Destiny from a long time ago. But previously to that, CEO coming in, Chris Tovey, who's also kind of big hitter. He's like, if you look at his, he was at Jazz Pharmaceuticals, which is like a 8 billion market cap company. But that acquired GW Pharma, and he was chief operating officer of that. And that was like a 7.2 billion AIM stock, you know, in cannabis, or those medical cannabis. And before that, he was at GSK, USB, UCB, which are all multi-billion pound companies. So I think they are setting up ready for their second asset, which is their big asset, XF73. It's got market potential.
XF73, that's it.
It's got a market potential in the US alone of 2 billion peak sales there. Yeah. That's a blockbuster drug. Like I said, three brokers, right? I keep repeating this because people say, oh, yeah, brokers. No, three separate brokers have an average target price of £2.86, and that's not including XF73. That's on M3 or NTC, the M3, the first asset, which they've done a deal on. It doesn't include XF73, the bigger one, and the pipeline stuff they have as well. So it's one of these. It's one of those stocks being sold off massively in the bear market. It's really take a chunk out of it. And if you go back, like, sort of even 18 months, it was like 160, 180 a share, and now it's 35 pence a share. And yet they're a lot more developed, have cash. And literally, they're not far away from a deal on this big asset, which is nuts. And only in bear markets do you get those kind of opportunities, you know?
Absolutely. Well, we know Destiny. We're also based at the Sussex Innovation Centre, of course. And I know the founder, Dr. William Love, there for a number of years. And
Bill Love. That's
Bill Love. Yes, that's right. Yeah, he's a good lad. The company have done incredibly well. But I think under Neil Clark's tenure, it didn't really achieve what everyone was expecting him to achieve during his tenure. But I think now with Nigel Rudd at the helm as chairman and Chris Tovey, and I think the upside's tremendous. And huge potential and a great success story for a Sussex-based company.
Yeah, but you never know why, CEO stepped down. They pursue other business interests, but you get the impression that maybe he was elbowed out, Neil, to say, the share price isn't performing. We've done these deals, all this, and nothing's happening yet.
Let's get
some big guns in. And now they've got the big guns in. And these are guys who do deals. They're action men, and, they get things done,
I think if you look back at his tenure, a lot happened, but a lot didn't happen as well.
A lot of it is you can't help a bear market. I understand that, but maybe it's just they realise they've got a big asset here, and they're not going to sell it down the road for less than it's worth. And so I think they need some hard negotiators, very experienced guys in there, to get the value for money here. Anyway, that's Destiny Pharma. And you know Bill? I'll ask him. What happened to Neil? Anyway,
yes.
What do you want to talk about, Al? What stock?
Okay, so firstly, I want to talk about Acuity. ACRM is the epic code. This is Acuity Risk Management, which basically reversed or was taken over by Drums PLC. This is a company that specializes in governance, risk management and compliance, GRC software. And it has an award-winning platform called Stream. And it's selling to a market that's it's hugely valuable. It was worth $14 billion in 2022, expected to rise to $27 billion by 2027. Everything's online now, of course, so governance, risk management, and compliance. It's a huge part of any company operation. And indeed, the company generates its revenues from software licensing, provides services, consultancy design and build, and a subscription model, which, of course, generates plenty of revenue. The former chief ops officer, Kerry Chambers, has done a great job in generating sales and pushing sales forward for the group. And indeed, in the announcement or the final results announcement on May 25th, the company announced revenues of $1.7 million up from $1.5 million, margins at 92%, and a sales pipeline that basically doubled to $4.5 million from $2.3 million previously. As we move forward, end of May, new partnership with Netitude to integrate Stream into its cybersecurity solutions. Another deal early June with a leading British insurer, which adopted Stream. Then in June, the fellow that founded the company, Simon Marvell, stepped down, but he remains a consultant to the company. And at that point, Kerry Chambers stepped up to chief executive. And then really, July 20th, a few days ago, probably the most significant win to date, a 388 or nearly £400,000 contract with the British government over 3 years and an option to take a further year or a fourth year for a further £125,000. But once you win a contract with the British government, it opens so many doors. And I think on the back of this, Kerry and her team have done a great job. And I expect to see the company push forward and, really start to grab a significant market share of this huge marketplace. The share price has really not done a great deal since the RTO was completed. It's come down from 8.5p or just under 9p to 6.8p this morning. Gives it a market cap of 8.3 million. So, if they're ramping up sales at the level that it looks as though they can do, then that's not really too racy a multiple for a tech company like this to be trading on. So I think this company's got a great future. So looking forward to hearing more news from them as the year goes by.
What the market cap is? What, about 8 9 million?
8.3 million. $8.3 million. Yeah. So it's modestly valued, and I think if this company were listed on the Nasdaq, for instance, I think we'd be seeing a market capitalization.
Don't say that, Al.
No, but it's
not on
the
Nasdaq.
They're not on the Nasdaq.
No, we're not on the Nasdaq. I've heard that several times. Unless they go to the Nasdaq, they're not going to get that valuation.
We are
in the UK.
That's where we are, but as we said earlier, we're in a market that's, we could be on the verge of past a nascent recovery in the markets in the coming months, in the run-up to Christmas. So, it's a sort of recovery that would very much feed into, if Acuity nails all these deals and, writes all the business that it hopes to do, then, who knows?
Yeah, well, I'm listening. In future, I'm going to get a red card for that if it's on the Nasdaq.
Red card?
Yeah, okay. Because that is like saying, if I had more money, I'd have a nicer house, but you haven't. Yeah, well, no, but if I did, I would have a nicer house if I had more money.
Okay. Well, we can debate and argue the fact that the AIM market is so undervalued, and perhaps
it's not
functioning properly as a market at the moment. So I'll push that argument out there then. But I won't mention the Nasdaq again on this podcast.
Well, I figured you get a red card. Okay? Well, it's a yellow card at the moment. Okay, what's next, Al?
Okay, well, the channel we're on, Jess, Audio Boom. So Audio Boom, we've spoken about on many occasions. And, of course, this company is the global leader in podcasting, billions of downloads every month.
Is it the global leader?
Well, it's certainly one of them. But we've spoken about Chairman Michael Tobin and his flamboyant dress sense. Chief Executive Stuart Last, of course, Stuart Last, ex BBC Two, used to run the BBC One Radio Live Lounge some years ago. For those who remember it, former Radio Two controller as well. So these are guys that know all about broadcasting, and the Audio Boom platform is host to a raft of different podcasts. On their interim announcement that was they dropped a few a week or so ago, their revenues fell. So their interim revenues fell to $32 million from $46.9 million previously. And that was due to the loss of the Morbid podcast, which was a big revenue generator for them. But they have seen a ramp up, a 6.5% ramp up in quarter two revenues on quarter one. So in a sense, the loss on that podcast, the impact will diminish as we go forward now.
I did read that, and I thought it was quite worrying that one podcast can have that such a negative impact on their earnings and their revenues. Quite worrying.
It is often the way with technology companies. It's the 80-20 rule, isn't it? Perhaps you start out with the client, and that client builds and builds and becomes a key account, if you like, for the business. And of course, losing it does damage the business. But as the company grows and more accounts are added, losing one account like that has less impact. So the stats still bear out growth. Quarter two downloads per month up 4.1% to 125.9 million. Brand advertiser count up 24%. Quarter two revenue per 1,000 downloads up 6% to $43.55. So the company said, operationally they're improving. They expect meaningful second half growth, and also revenues from advertising during quarter two grew by 18%. So this is significant. And as you said right at the start, Jess, you've got the chairman Michael Tobin, also the CFO Roger Maddock, and Stuart Last, the chief executive, all buying shares over the past few months. They're just snapping these shares up while it's bumping along the bottom. So I do think, Audio Boom is approaching a turning point, and if we have a trading statement in the next few months that shows us how well the anticipated increase in downloads is translating into revenues, then I think we could see a decent turning point for the company. But there we go.
I mean, but it's a revenue number 40 to 31 million.
They
made a loss on gross profit. In their defence, the advertising market is very hard. In fact, you came out. Do you see S4 Capital's results yesterday? Sir Martin Sorrell, his business was saying, you know, market's very hard, and they took a bit of a profit warning yesterday, took a hit. So, it's a difficult market. So hopefully, you know, that will pick up. But I'm not convinced there at the moment. It's the trend and the chart and the share price is just it's a little worrying. In fact, it did hit a low. When was that? On the 19th. Where did it get into? 152. Mm. So it's bounced from there. But
It's bounced back from there. So I think we're seeing it bump along, along the bottom now. They've got to deliver. But any upswing in the global economy, you know, will translate into advertising, and I think that will see a big shift for Audioboom. You know, they're a growing company, and of course, there's always the possibility. You know, as we see from time to time, we see bid rumors swirling around. You know, could be taken out by Spotify or whoever.
Yeah, but now's the time, isn't it? Spotify, get in there. What is it?
What's yeah, indeed. Now will be the time.
3 million, you know, that's nothing to Spotify, is it? You know. I'll put a premium in that, of course. What's next, Al?
Okay, want to briefly cover First Class Metals. First Class Metals, of course, listed last year. The share prices, they're listed at 8p. Shares have traded as high as 17.25p back in December. Currently trading at 9.8p, having just raised some more money at 10p. And this company has a portfolio of assets in Canada. So if you go to Lake Superior, on the north coast of Lake Superior, they have a portfolio of assets near to the Barrick Hemlo gold mine. In North Hemlo in particular, they're working on a sort of precious and base metal prospects, and they have a joint venture there with Palladium One on the West Pickle Lake, and also Dead Otter Lake. You know, some rather odd names for the lakes there, but nonetheless, potential there for particularly Palladium One that's working on its Tycho asset, you know, which is prospective for base metals. There are so many, the geology around here is incredible. I mean, there are so many assets and potential assets. Just down the road, they have the ESA assets, and they've got what they believe is a mineralized shear, mirroring those which are seen at the Barrick Hemlo gold mine, which is literally about 11 kilometers to the south of the ESA shear asset. They've also bought if we move west from there, we go to the Sunbeam mine, where they have that they bought into an historical gold mine, the Sunbeam gold mine, lots of historical workings there, and also lots of mineralization has been identified by the team. The chief executive is long-standing veteran geologist Mark Sale, who's well known throughout the industry, highly respected, and I've interviewed Mark and spoken to him, and they just have this an incredible portfolio of assets within the group. They also have an option to buy into moving north from there at the top end of the Nipigon Lake. There is Zigzag Lake, and they have an opportunity to buy into the Zigzag Lithium Project, and that's contiguous with several companies operating in the area that are all mining for lithium and other base metals. Also with Pickle Lake, the most latest update from the company, there's an earn-in being agreed there with a company called On Gold Investment, they have an opportunity to expand their reach to enlarge the area around the Pickle Lake, and working on the lake could see them earn into an additional area. So there's lots of news flow to come up. They hit the ground running when they listed last year with news flow. And I think, you know, you look at the share price performance over the past year, it's a pretty solid performance. Yes, we're down at where the money was raised now, but that's, I think the company, well, I know the company's gearing up for another round of extensive news flow, and we look forward to that when it comes. And I think this is a good entry point, because you're basically coming in at or around the listing price.
First Class Metals, and they were a big about a hype cycle there, didn't they? From IPO, went up from 9 pence, doubled to 18.
Yep. Yep.
That's back to 9.9. Yep.
And that's in the midst of a really difficult market for junior stocks. So it gives you some idea. And there's a lot of respect, I think, for the management team, as I say, headed by Mark Sale. So there's a lot of news flow, pent up news flow, results and so on, which will be hitting the news wires in the coming weeks and months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. First class metals. Good job they didn't go with the second class metals, because that wouldn't have sold so good. You know, average metals. Let's see what we can get from metals.
Decidedly average metals. I wouldn't buy that either.
Yeah, below par stuff. That's what we trade in. Anything else, Al?
Yeah, finally, I want to touch on TruSpine, which has made a.
I've got a bad back, actually.
Yeah, so have I, actually.
Really?
Yes, well, it was my grandson's birthday on the weekend, and I was carrying around, and something happened, and I'm finally, I have to sit with a cushion shoved down the back to keep my spine curved at the bottom, if you know what I mean.
Same as me. It's because we sit a lot at the desks as well. It's leaning over.
Yeah.
I've got one of these right behind my back, and what happened to me is I sort of joined the gym. I want to get sort of back into a bit of fitness, because I've stopped doing it at home. And I started swimming a lot, and breaststroke it was. And I think it crunched my back then. I was all in the same position. And all of a sudden, I sit down. Really, I couldn't get out of bed one day. And I literally now have to sit. If I sit on the sofa, for example, I put one at the base of my back. Then I put my laptop on two other pillows. So I'm literally trying to look up or straight across. Looking down all the time, it curves your spine in the wrong way at the back. It's really a problem. You know, so I've had it before, but this is the worst I've had it. It's literally, I've had it for 2 weeks now, and it's just starting to go, I think. I'm trying to sit up. I need to get one of those. Do you remember those chairs before stools almost? You put your knees on it and your legs go behind you. I've been thinking about getting one of those, you know?
Yeah, I'm thinking the same, actually. I think that's it, because it's good for improving your core strength as well. So and of course, if your core muscles are strong, then it'll support your spine. But yes, indeed. So I mean, TruSpine has three patented devices: Servi-Lock, which is a screw-free spinal stabilization system used in the cervical spine and minimizes risk of vertebral artery injury. And today, the company have announced they've submitted an application to the FDA for FDA approval in the USA. That there's a 90-day period during which the FDA can come back and question TruSpine if it needs to. If it gets approval at the end of that, then for the first time in its operating history, TruSpine can start to sell the device into the marketplace and generate revenues. And that's going to be a hugely transformational step for the company. There are two other products too. There's Grasp Laminoplasty, which is at the top half of the spine. It grasps the laminae using the Servi-Lock anchor. I won't go into details, but the
I think it's a glass laminate pasty then.
Yeah, grasp laminate.
A glass laminate pasty was like an award for a pasty show, for the best pasty.
A pasty show, yeah, that's it. Yeah, no, it's grasp laminoplasty. That's it. That system, and then finally Facilock, which is a screw and anchor system for the spine, which operates in a similar way to Servi-Lock. But if you go to the TruSpine website, TruSpine, TruSpine.org, click on the spinal fixation devices link at the top of the page, and you'll see them. And the great thing is, you know, picture paints a thousand words. Great images there, explains exactly what it does. So TruSpine, of course, is Aquis listed. The share price has been bumping on the bottom. It's endured a difficult few months, but Lawrence Strauss has piloted the company forward, and they're really starting to take steps forward now to move them away from the difficulties they had with some shareholders at a requisition GM a few months ago. And indeed, the share price is up on
60% today, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's up today, and of course, you know, this news I think is going to be transformational for the company. 1.45p. There you go. So so I think it's transformational. I think the company has got. This is right at the start. I mean, we've got a market capitalization of just £1 million at the moment. So something like this, you know, selling into the spinal stabilization market, which is like, you know, it's like the market we were discussing earlier. You know, it's a huge market worth something like 10 billion dollars per annum, and is expected to grow at a compound annual growth rate of about 3.5% through to 2026. So it's a huge market to sell into. If they have FDA approval, this is going to change everything for the company. So good luck to Lawrence and the team.
I got to say, if you are of disposition that's a little bit sensitive, then I wouldn't look on their spinal fixation devices section of the website. It's like server lock, minimally invasive tooling. Doesn't look minimally invasive to me. Don't like that.
I think if you're squeamish, then yes, you're absolutely right. It does look a bit painful, but I think.
Spinal fixation devices.
Yeah, but
that phrase is like that on other websites, I think. To be honest.
Yeah, but for people that have back problems and so on, you know, it could be life changing, and I think it's also the simplicity, because those images do tell it all, but actually it's the simplicity of the system, and I think that's where it's so strong. So anyway, it's early days, but if that FDA approval is granted, then it's a complete game changer for TruSpine.
Mm-hmm. Marvellous stuff. Cheers to Al. Speak to you next week.
Cheers, Just. Speak to you next week.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.